Howdy do, buggeroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is Friday, the 24th of July. This is 2020. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, good to be here.
Happy Friday to you.
Yes, definitely. I will probably be going to the beach yet again.
Well,
because we finally have some good weather. It's been cloudy here all week, except for the second half of yesterday. And it looks like so far it's a nice day today.
Well, that's good. I'm glad to hear it. We've had the opposite. It was stupid hot here for 3 or 4 days. It was slightly less stupidly hot yesterday. And right now here, it's overcast. So honestly, I'm looking forward to it. You're like, it's not cloudy, yay. And I'm like, it's cloudy, yay. So yeah, weather, everybody. Welcome to Weather Observations over at the Mac Observer. It is Security Friday, as per tradition. We have a bunch of tidbits to get to. And the first one that I want to get to is this interesting thing, Andrew, that you found out about a new program that Apple has launched.
Yes, so Apple launched this program just a couple days ago. It's called the Apple Security Research Device Program. And it, as part of this program, Apple will be sending these special unlocked iPhones so that security researchers can do their security research using these devices. Mm-hmm. So it basically has shell access available so developers can run any tools and custom entitlements that they want.
Yeah, it sounds like an interesting idea. Like Apple gives you this device. I assume it's probably 11s.
Yeah,
I don't know if we actually saw that or not, but Apple does own them, but you can lease them. I think it's for a year at a time.
Mm-hmm. On a 12-month basis.
Yeah. And then you get unfettered access to the device that runs the software. So this isn't just like when I run this in an emulator on my laptop, this thing happens. So I'm mm-hmm. interested to see how this changes what kind of things get reported to Apple. And I'm also curious if this is part of a larger program where Apple's taking some of this stuff a little more seriously, because one of the things that we see a lot with data breaches, regardless of who the company is, like sometimes it's Apple, sometimes it's not, where somebody says, you know, I reported this 6 months ago and nobody cared, so that's why I'm telling everybody. Aww. You know, so I hope that things like this get more common so that people's data becomes more secure and so that the software that we're all relying on for things every day becomes as safe as possible. That's one of the reasons we talk about this kind of stuff on Security Friday. So this is good mm-hmm. news for people because it means that stuff will get a little bit more secure is sort of the hope. And you said this was iOS 14 or is it currently shipping? Do we know?
You know, it didn't say anything about the iOS version or, like you said, the device version.
Okay.
But I'm assuming it's just going to be an iOS 13 so far.
Okay, that would make sense. I'm very curious to see where it goes. Hopefully we will find out more about this. Maybe Apple will give us a press release about how this particular thing was found, because we have this new program where we let people get their hands on hardware, and this is the flaw that they found, and now we're going to fix it.
Mm-hmm. That'd be great. Nice.
Yeah. So another topic that we have today is something that was brought to us by a reader. Somebody wrote in and asked us about specifically for Security Friday to talk about something called Jumbo Privacy. So Peter Robinson came across it and wanted to know a little bit more about it. So Andrew, take it away.
Yeah, so Kelly forwarded me this email and I said, good news, I've actually been using this app for probably over a year now.
Yes, and we have evidence.
One of the early adopters.
Yeah, well, and we have evidence of that because the article I'm going to have in the show notes that breaks down what the app is and does is from April of 2019. So yes, I believe, and Andrew's still using it, so that's a seal of approval. So there you go, Peter. If any of you have tips for that, you can always talk to us at observations@macobserver.com, like Peter did. Hi, Peter. Or you can get us at TMO Daily on Twitter or leave comments in the show notes. So, Andrew, what does Jumbo Privacy do?
So Jumbo Privacy is this all-in-one privacy tool that can do a bunch of different things for you. So if you connect your Google account to it, it can scan your Google account to see if there's anything, if there's any privacy settings you should be turning on. It can delete some of your YouTube history or Google search history, et cetera, et cetera. But not just Google, it's Facebook, Messenger, Alexa, LinkedIn. There's a whole bunch of different accounts like Twitter, et cetera, that you can connect to it, and it can manage all your privacy settings. Let's see, it can scan certain emails that you have on the dark web to see if it's been leaked. Okay. There's also a couple of different subscriptions that can do more things. It is free to use. For example, I'm trying to do this all off the top of my head because I forgot to actually have my iPhone with me. But it can also, besides scanning emails on the dark web, you can also scan your social security number. I think maybe a couple more different pieces of information. So this is an all-in-one tool. I really like it.
I liked that it hooks up to a lot of different services as well. So this is a thing that obviously you're running on iOS on your iPhone from Apple, but you can use it to manage Facebook privacy and Google search history and delete voice recordings from the A-Lady if you have an Echo base in your house. And it does all this locally on device. So nothing that you're doing is phoning home to Jumbo themselves or right. whoever it is that runs the Jumbo privacy app. And so that part was a thing that I thought was interesting. And then also it can scrub stuff from Twitter as well. Not all of it at once. I think it was 3,000 at a time or something. But it lets you sort of clean up behind you as well. And that was, to me, part of what was interesting about it. There used to be a webpage that I liked to use because if you had services that you sort of always managed through a website, like your Facebook preferences or Flickr preferences or Instagram preferences, these were all things that you could log straight in. They just built this page with hard links to, like, you know, Facebook/preferences/privacy or whatever. And then when you're logged in, you just click on it and it takes you right to the privacy settings for all these different services that you could be hooked up to. And it's gone now and I'm sad. But I like I like the consolidation of all of that in one place because making it easier for people to do makes it more likely that people will do it. And that's, again, a thing that we're super for here. So.
Yeah. And the nice thing about this app is it can do all of these things in the background. So you can just hook up all your accounts and then just forget about it.
Yeah. I like that too, because then it, like, the maintenance of it, you know, is not something that you have to do. Like, let me go in and scrub this all the time. You know, every Friday I have to sit down for an hour, you know, So set it and forget it. It is also a really nice privacy piece of information. So I dig that too. I did install it. I haven't had a chance to sit down with it, but I did install it. I try to be good about all that stuff, but I'm interested to see what other options it has for me that are things that I might be neglecting. So that was part of why I put it on, because I wanted to check it out. So anyway, like I said, if you have recommendations, send us an email and let us know. Or if you have questions about things that we might be using to do some of this, that maybe we'll do some tool reviews and see what else Andrew has on his phone to manage everything. So. You never know. Right now, what I'd like to do is take a minute and talk to you about our sponsor this week. Our sponsor this week is Devon Technologies. They make an app called Devon Think, and it is the most professional document and information management application for your Mac. What's one of the great things about it is that it uses artificial intelligence in order to help you manage all of your information. So you can collect, edit, annotate, and organize all kinds of things, everything from whatever kind of file it is that you need to store and refer back to, up to live web pages. Like, you've got a Google Doc at a particular URL, you can always make sure that that's stored in there. I have a couple spreadsheets actually that I keep in mind that are Google Doc spreadsheets, whatever they're called. And you can tell I use them a lot, but I need to refer to them regularly. And so now I don't have to worry about loading up that URL or anything. I can just do it all in DevonThink. You can organize those documents in groups, or you can use tags, or you can use both. You do you. You can use smart rules to allow for filtering your information in particular ways. And you can even let DevonThink do some of that for you by building automation and let DevonThink just sort of handle all of that. And then you don't have to. It's really great. Just for my listeners, there is a 10% discount on DevonThink version 3. And that 10% discount applies to either a shiny new license or the upgrade. So if you have a license already somewhere, you can even get 10% off upgrade pricing at the following URL. It's devontechnologies.com/TDO. That's devontechnologies.com/TDO. And you can get 10% off a full version or an upgrade. And we'd like to thank Devon Technologies for sponsoring the show today. Now, if you thought that was all the news, you'd be mistaken, because we have more to talk about. There was some interesting news about TikTok this week.
Yes, there's been a lot of TikTok news lately. Everyone is concerned that TikTok is a security threat. And it's somewhat controversial because one of the main sort of points in the debate is that some are saying TikTok is linked to the Chinese government and it serves as a spy for the Chinese government. I don't know about that, so I'm not going to comment at all. But
well, part of the reason that's debated, I'll tell you this, part of the reason that's debated is because the company is a Chinese company and the servers are in China, and there's no way to verify if they say we have no affiliation with the Chinese government. Because the Chinese, in the rest of the world, the Chinese government is not necessarily a reliable source of information on anything. So we don't have a way to go like, yes, you know, we've done this giant record search or this thorough forensic network research and discovered that there is, in fact, no relationship between those two things. Like, we have no way to tell that what they're saying is correct. There's no independent way to verify that. So that's why it's up for debate, because all we have is them saying, well, gee willikers, we'd never do a thing like that. And we don't know. So that's why. That's like the biggest debate about TikTok right now for a lot of people is, especially people who don't have accounts, is, you know, I can't prove it the other way. So,
Yeah. So what I did was, so we can't prove the spying part, but we can prove the security part and the privacy part. And those parts aren't good. So what I did was I dug through a whole bunch of research by these security firms and someone on Reddit who said, so I'll start off with him. So he or she says they reverse engineered TikTok and they found that it collects a ton of information from your phone. So basically all the details about the hardware components, like what CPU you have, what GPU you have, et cetera, with all that information, it acts kind of like a fingerprint.
Okay.
So it collects that information. It can know all the apps you have installed. It collects everything about your network information. And it can even figure out whether you're rooted or jailbroken. And this person also says it puts your email address in plain text in one of their APIs, which means if that gets intercepted, then boom, someone has your email.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
Yeah. And so I looked at some research from a couple other companies. There's a security firm called Zimperium. There's another security firm called Penetrum. And they're all saying the same thing. They're finding that it's a very privacy bad and security bad app. And like I said, even TikTok's own privacy policy, as I said in the article, even TikTok's own privacy policy says it collects a lot of stuff. So even if you don't want to believe these security firms, just go read their privacy policy and they will. I don't know if it says everything that they're doing, but it does say a lot.
Okay. So, you know, that's part of it. One of the things that I do sort of have to give them a point for, I suppose, if we were scoring this, is that they do say, like, we collect a whole bunch of stuff and they're upfront about it. And I'm glad of that. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, like, I don't know. Like, yeah, none of this makes me any more. None of this changes my mind at all. I'm still not installing it. That's basically where I'm at.
Yeah, definitely. So the conclusion I made at the end of my article was you probably shouldn't install this.
Yeah.
Just as an example, in their privacy policy, they tell you themselves that some of the data they collect includes your IP address, your browsing history within the app, your mobile carrier, location data, and your device's IMEI number and possibly its IMSI number, which are both unique tracking things to your device.
Yeah. Well,
they can be used for tracking, not by in and of themselves, but yeah.
Oh, sure. But yeah, that's definitely a piece of information that totally narrows down what device it is we're actually talking about here. So yeah, that's yeah. So this is also Security Friday news and very relevant to my interests because I've been watching the show on HBO called I'll Be Gone in the Dark about the Golden State Killer. And the way that they caught him was with this database of DNA information called GEDmatch. And that's the good news about it. But right now we have some less good news to talk about. See if you can guess why we're talking about them on a Friday episode of Daily Observations. Andrew?
Yeah, so the good news is that GEDmatch helped identify the Golden State Killer. The bad news is why we're here. They were attacked, and it was basically a data breach, or at least a data leak. Mm-hmm. So BuzzFeed News reported on this. So they said in this attack, over a million DNA profiles had been that were previously hidden from cops using whatever user preferences that say, yeah, I don't want to share this information. Mm-hmm. So all of a sudden, over a million DNA profiles that were hidden were now unhidden. So law enforcement could see these profiles. And then there's a second part where another company called MyHeritage, it's this genealogy website, they announced that some of their users had been subjected to a phishing attack using emails that were leaked in the GEDmatch database.
Okay, so this is a twofold data breach. Like they went in and sort of set everybody to public is kind of what it sounds like. Like all the user permissions were messed with for everybody that uses the GEDmatch website. And then additionally, people using MyHeritage are doing this as well.
Yeah. And it sounds like maybe one of the users' user accounts was compromised because Verogen, the company that owns GEDmatch, they made a statement saying, the sudden unmasking of these profiles that were supposed to be hidden was orchestrated through a sophisticated attack on one of our servers via an existing user account.
Interesting. Okay. So, yeah, there may be more to that story as it comes out. Yeah, that's, I think the reason this came up was because I said something about, like, this is what I've been watching lately is this show. Like, what I've been doing to relax is watch a show about catching a serial killer. That's 2020. And then Andrew was like, yeah, they just had a data breach. Okay, no, yeah, that was early 2020. This is summer 2020. Yeah, now I get it. Yeah, I'm watching a show about a serial killer. And yeah, by the way. So, yeah. So let's go out on a lighthearted security note.
Kind of lighthearted.
Yeah, at least a more entertaining, we'll say, piece of Security Friday information. We've got one more.
So someone or some group has been going around and completely erasing unsecured databases that they find, which I said, I mean, better erased than breached, right?
Yeah.
They don't leave any trace except for the word meow. So people are calling this the meow attack.
Okay. That's interesting. I sort of like it as a benevolent attack, you know, because obviously they're not doing anything with the information if they're just replacing it with meow, which I think is kind of entertaining. The fact that your story starts over 1,000 insecure databases.
Yeah.
And it's probably not slowing down because I assume there are more than that. I'm a little worried, but
yeah,
how widespread is this going to end up actually being is kind of my question. But
I mean, I'm assuming that, like you said, it's going to keep going.
Yeah.
This attack was first came to the attention as Ars Technica reports. Security researcher Bob Diachenko. Mm-hmm. So he found a database that was storing user details of this VPN called UFO VPN. In a separate incident, they claimed to not log anyone's user information. Mm-hmm. Well, it turns out that they did.
Oh.
And it was being exposed in this database. And so that database was wiped out. And that's when they discovered that, like, because of the calling card of the word meow, they were able to link this mm-hmm. erasure with a whole bunch of other ones that was going on. And they found out, oh, someone, like, these aren't separate incidences. This is a concerted effort.
So while I admire the headline of your story, Andrew, I feel compelled to point out that CatTac was right there.
I'll go back and edit it.
All right. That's going to do it for us today. Andrew, as always, thank you so much for Security Friday.
Yes, thanks for having me, and have a good weekend, everyone.
I'm your host, Kelly Gamott. I will talk to all of you on Monday. In the meantime, be excellent to each other, and let's be careful out there.